We celebrate the dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. It's called Lateran because the basilica was built during the time of Constantine and the property of the family called the Laterani. So it's called Lateran after the family name. But later on, it was named after St. John the Baptist. And it was one of the earliest churches ever built. And Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, helped to build it. And has been considered the cathedral of the Holy Father ever since. The mother of all the churches in Christendom, Catholic Church. And it's a symbol of the Holy Father and the unity of the Catholic Church. And when we do celebrate the dedication of any church, especially this one, it calls we're called to consider and reflect upon the presence of God in physical buildings and in physical things. You know, we think of the sacraments, which are physical and spiritual at the same time. We have the water in baptism that, with the formula of I baptize you in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then the spiritual element is conferred, the spiritual presence of God is there, and he transforms us into children of God, and the whole Holy Trinity comes down into the soul. All that happens through the physical use of water and the proper formula of the Church of baptism, and all the sacraments are like that. There's the physical element and the spiritual, because we live in a physical and a spiritual world. God made the world physical and spiritual. That's just the reality of the way things are. God is, of course, is spirit alone. God is, of course, Jesus now adopted a body, and he has that in heaven, but God is primarily a spirit. And yet he created a physical world. And the angels don't have bodies, they are just spirits. So they're not human beings, they're angels. They only have a spirit. But we have a spirit and a body as human beings. And we relate to things in a physical and a spiritual way. You know, our Protestant brothers and sisters, they wanted to get rid of this institutional church, the physical, visible part of the church, because it was too confining and it was too domineering, thinking that, you know, we have a bishop and priests and people that are over us and can tell us what to do, and who, you know, all this stuff, and the heresy of iconoclasm, heresy where images were not good. The images are idolatrous. So the heretics would say. So these physical images are not good, according to the heretics. And yet it is good, because that's the way God made the world. God, Jesus came to us in a physical way, in a visible way. He took flesh so we could look upon him, we could feel him and hear his voice and see the things that he did, and we could see his countenance in a physical person, in a physical body. And Jesus gave us in a more powerful way this physical and spiritual way of relating to God. So Jesus, you know, because in the Old Testament, the people were too physical oriented, and they were tempted to idolatrize images. And so God said not to create images in the same way as we do today in this in the advent of the coming of Christ. They were not to make images because the people were so tempted to adore and idolatrize images, and so they weren't able to do that as we are today. Well, there were some images in the Old Testament, but nothing like there is today, because the grace of God can keep us from that heresy more effectively. And so we need images, and the physical images that we can see that remind us and bring down even the presence of God to us. So we need the physical and the spiritual in so many so many ways. And as we're thinking of a physical building like this Lateran Basilica, which reminds us of the Vicar of Christ and of Jesus, who is more powerfully present in that basilica, as a symbol of unity in the church and the presence of God. We think of that in all churches, all Catholic churches, and even Protestant churches. God's presence would be there to some extent, where the people come united to pray to God, but certainly not in the same way as in a Catholic church, where God's fullness of his presence is here in the Eucharist, in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it calls to mind the different presences of God. There's a hierarchy of God's presence. We know God is present everywhere in the universe. He's present, keeping everything in existence and in order and intact, functioning the way he wants it. So he keeps everything operating the way he wants it. And so he's present to everything and everywhere. And the church describes this in the philosophical terms as God is present in an immanent way in every little thing to keep it in existence. But yet he is transcendent. He is not identified with any physical thing. You can't say he is a pencil, or he's in this pantheistic idea that he is these things. God is not these things. And yet he is present to them, keeping them in existence, in order. So there's that immanence and transcendence of God in physical things, and yet he's present in different ways in the world. He's present in a hierarchy of ways. He's fully present in the most powerful way in the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, his fullness of his presence is there. That is, we look at the Eucharist and we say that is God himself in the flesh, in his humanity, and in his divinity. That is God that we receive in the Eucharist. Just as we could say that is God who was here 2,000 years ago in his flesh. He was walking and speaking and crying and suffering. God suffered and cried. We can say God did all those things in the person of Jesus, in the fullness, in his fullest way there in Jesus and in the Eucharist, and then in lesser ways after that, in his presence in church, in a community of believers, his presence in the Word of God, his presence in those who suffer and in the poor, his presence in the world. His presence in the home, all these things. So we remember this hierarchy of presence of God. When Moses went to the burning bush, he was told to take his shoes off because that was a holy, sacred place. That place was holy, more holy than other places, because God chose to abide and dwell in that place, at least for that time. More than in other places. And in Mount Sinai, he was present there more than in other places. And he showed his presence in a physical way to the Israelites in thunder and lightning and earthquake and in cloud, in a thick, dense cloud. You could see the presence of God there on the mountain of Sinai. He chose to be more present there. And he had David and Solomon build the temple in the Old Testament, and when it was consecrated and finally built by Solomon, the people all gathered there, and Solomon prayed and asked God to be present there for the people if they would worship him and be faithful to him as long as they would. And on the spot, God ratified his prayer by filling the temple with a dense cloud, and they could see the presence of God in that physical way. And yet God is more present in this church than he was in the temple in Jerusalem, and yet he doesn't show himself in that physical way. We just know it by faith. So his presence is is it different? Is that hierarchy of God's presence? He's present in our soul in a powerful way at baptism when we are in the state of grace. And if we commit a mortal sin, we really and truly expel God from our heart in the state of mortal sin. And yet God still keeps us alive if we haven't died. He's still present in some small way in our soul, keeping us alive and stirring us to come back to him in our soul. And yet he's in a different, present in a much less way. And so we go to confession if we have committed a grave sin, and we restore the presence of God back into our soul in the state of grace in this powerful way. And while we are in the state of grace, while God dwells in the Holy Trinity in our soul, when we are in his friendship in the state of grace, we grow.